Our passage this morning comes from John chapter 10. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. You can look it up in your Bible, in your Bible app. We'll also have it on the screen behind me when we get to that reading. But I'm continuing in the I Am sermon series. We're looking at the I Am statements from John. And so we're talking about Jesus explaining who he is in his own words. Today we're focusing on the statement in John where he says, "I am the door," or "I am the gate," as you might read it in different versions. But today, "I am the door." I'm going to give credit to Robin for this illustration because she kind of gave it to me the other day. And have y'all ever seen that show, Let's Make a Deal? Yeah, you've seen that show where you can choose between what's behind door number one or door number two? Right? Or you can choose what's in the box. And if you choose something and it's a good prize, but you might think there's a better one behind the other door, they might even give you cash to say, okay, I'll give you this much money if you choose the other door or something like that. They try to entice you to go in a different direction. There's a singer that I really love. He's the lead singer for a band called Casting Crowns. And he gave his testimony on a video that I watched one time, and he said that he has ADD. He's been struggling with it for his entire life, but he says, you know, I could be talking about astrophysics with somebody, and then all of a sudden something will catch my eye, and I'll say, oh, something shiny, and he'll go following after that. But yeah, so something shiny catches his eye, and he loses focus, and he goes in a different direction. He goes after a different door or whatever. And today we're looking at Jesus saying, "I am the door," right? And so we'll see how he explains that in his word as we look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. And this is what it says, 1 through 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So we're looking in this passage and we see this term shepherd. And Jesus in the next I Am statement says, "I am the good shepherd." It's just in the verses just past this reading. So we'll talk about that next week. But I want to give a little bit of an idea of this term shepherd being used in this passage. During the time of Jesus, this term was used sometimes to describe a king. And so we'll see in the next passage, Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd." And basically in that passage, he's claiming to be king. But in this passage, we're looking at the shepherd as the leader of a flock of sheep. Okay? So what kind of animals are sheep? They're dumb, right? They need a lot of nurture. They need a shepherd to show them the way, to protect them, to keep them from harm. But yeah, they're pretty dumb animals. And more or less what he's saying is that those that follow him need nurture and care and love to find the way to where they need to go. And we see that reflected in Psalm 23. We'll talk about that again next week. But just to kind of lay the foundation here for what he's talking about. And there's only one way into the sheepfold, and that's through the door, through the gate. He says that there are men that try to create other ways into that sheepfold. And what does he say about them? He says they are thieves and they are robbers. So what they're trying to do is to get in there and to distract the sheep, to pull them away from the flock and take them in a different direction. Offer them something shiny and hope that they would follow after it. Society would tell us that there are many ways to find fulfillment and happiness. And it was no different in the time of Christ. Men that were telling people that there were other means of salvation than the Messiah that was promised by God have constantly put themselves in front of people as a teacher, as one that could lead to salvation or to a plentiful and fulfilling life. So we can also look at that in their own faith tradition, in the Jewish faith, the Pharisees, the scribes, the ruling class of the day within the nation of Israel, they were teaching, you know what? You can live by the law and you can save yourself. And so anybody that came and butted heads against that idea, you know, they were rejecting. The one that they rejected becomes the cornerstone. They rejected Christ, they rejected his teaching, yet his teaching solidly pointed us to the way, to the door that led to life and fulfillment. So there were also other philosophies that had spread throughout the Roman Empire. And so they were, those Roman philosophies, Greco-Roman philosophies, were also being taught as ways to find fulfillment and life. You know, one of the ones that I can't possibly understand is one that was offered up by Pythagoras. And his philosophy was that if you filled your time, if you filled your brain with math, that you could be pulled away from the troubles of your life and you could find peace. I could not find peace trying to do math for the rest of my life. But it was things like that that they would put in front of people and say that if you follow after this philosophy, if you do the things that I have called you to do, and those things are contrary to what God teaches in his scripture, if you do these things, you will still find fulfillment, right? You can find fulfillment in doing things outside of scripture, doing things for yourself, trying to earn your own salvation. Jesus is saying that teachers or prophets that have come before him that are teaching philosophies or practices or religions that are contrary to scripture, they're thieves and they're robbers. And they're trying to take life from those people or sheep that would follow after them. What they offer up is not life-giving, but it actually robs people of true life. So what are the contemporary philosophies or practices or religions today that might distract? There was a denomination that put out a commercial, and I don't know that they actually intended it to come across as the way that it did, but it said, you know, choose your own path, and that all of these paths would lead to salvation. And I don't necessarily believe, again, like I said, I don't necessarily believe that they were thinking that said what it said, but if you looked at it, you know, it almost condones this idea that every path will lead to salvation. You just have to choose one. If you don't like the one that you're on, you choose another, and it'll get you to the same place. And that's like having many doors, right? It's like saying, okay, this door will get me there, this door will get me there, this door will get me there, and it denies the fact that there is only one door. There's only one gate. Here we kind of have adopted this slogan of everyone has a story, and I feel like that's different, because everyone has a story of how God revealed the way to salvation to them. You know, my circumstances and how God spoke into my life might be different than yours, but what he offered up to me was the way to salvation, which is through knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. We all share the same door. We just had different circumstances where God spoke into our lives and taught us what that door was. Christ led us to understand the grace of God, and he showed us that through what he has done for us. There are many idols in this life. There are many things that, shiny things that would distract you from the door. Success, power, money, you know, even family, marriage, you know. People might look to all of those things to try to find fulfillment. Yet all of those things, if they are put in a place where it is the thing, it is the door where I find salvation or fulfillment, they all let you down. Because they're not the foundation upon which you are supposed to build your life. On this Super Bowl Sunday, maybe your favorite football team would be something that you look to for fulfillment. I don't know. The Saints let me down this year, guys. But I don't know. If you're looking for those things to give your life meaning, to give your life purpose, they're gonna make you fall flat on your face. Because they do not give life. They rob you of the true understanding of what God has done for you. When we look to those things for fulfillment, they become idols. All other world religions, too, teach a works-based salvation. They do. Christianity is the only world religion that doesn't teach that you earn your way to heaven by how you treat other people, how you act, how you live your life. Christ paid a heavy price for our salvation. We know what he's done for us. He went to the cross. Even though he did not deserve the wrath of God, he took the wrath of God fully upon himself. We sung about it. The wrath of God is satisfied because Christ went to the cross and he paid the price to purchase our freedom from sin and death through his shed blood on our behalf. So when we start thinking about these other philosophies that I can find fulfillment in other things, or I can find salvation through my own actions and how I live, we insult our Savior. And we say what he did was unnecessary. We paint what he did as something that was just something that happened. It didn't bring salvation. It didn't bring life. And that's not what we are supposed to do as followers of Christ. That's a second door. That's something shiny that distracts us from the true gospel. These things are robbers, and they ultimately lead to death if they become center points of our life. In verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Those things that I mentioned earlier, in and of themselves, those things that I was talking about, success, power, money, family, they're not bad in and of themselves. They're not evil. But if you place them as the center of your life and you look to them for fulfillment, if you look to them for life, they become idols. They distract. When we talked about the multiple doors in that Let's Make a Deal game, you know, every now and then you open a door and it's a zonk. It's like, do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's at, like it's a, I don't know, a broken down 50-year-old car that has no wheels or an engine, right? When we open doors that don't lead to Christ and point us to him, they're all zonks. Every other door is a zonk. I think that's right. As far as what they're called, I think it's a zonk. But those things distract us from Christ. which is the only thing that can offer salvation. Psalm 118, verses 19 through 22, it says this, "Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Jesus is the only means to salvation. It's the only means to righteousness. He is the gate that leads us to God in restored relationship. He is the one that they're talking about in Psalm 118, and he is saying so in John chapter 10. Jesus says, "I am the door, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Like I said, there are those that try to go over the wall. They try to entice the sheep to follow him. But if you have truly understood who the shepherd is, if we know him, again, we go back to that talk that I had in the very first sermon of this series, where knowing of somebody versus knowing him, if you know who he is, if you know the shepherd, it talks about the sheep only follow the one that they know to be the true shepherd. If you know him, it becomes easy to follow him and follow him only. If you truly understood who he is, it becomes easy to follow. In verses 2 through 5, it says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and when he calls his own sheep by name, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." They know him. They know that he brings life. They know that he brings protection. They know that he is the fulfillment they've been looking for. In verse 5, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know the voice of the strangers." I've watched the Civil War documentary by Ken Burns several times, and kind of later in the documentary, he talks about how the economy of the Confederacy, you know, it faded, and there was a lot of counterfeit going on, counterfeit money being passed around, and he said one of the reasons that people were able to tell that money was counterfeit in the South was because the mints that they had such low quality in printing that oftentimes the printers that were making counterfeit money, their money looked better than the money that the government was issuing, and so they could spot a counterfeit from miles away. If you are growing in your relationship with him, if you are studying Scripture, if you're spending time in prayer and reflecting upon what he is trying to speak to you through that, if you're spending time in relationship with other Christians who are building you up in the faith, if you are growing in your faith, you can spot a counterfeit from miles away. And when you do, you're able to run from it. You're able to flee from it because it is not something worthy of following. The world teaches the opposite. The world teaches that you should follow after these things because it gives you fulfillment, it gives you satisfaction in the right now. But our focus shouldn't be on the right now, it should be on eternity, which Christ is able to offer to us. So guard yourself from deception by looking to the Scriptures, knowing who Christ is. Know him. Don't just know of him. Learn about him so that you can know him, so that when you're tempted, you're able to move away from that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.